prayer, and then we'll get started in the scriptures. Father, we come to you now to ask for your guidance as I share from your word. I pray that you would make it something meaningful, make it something that will touch each heart. And Lord, that we might respond positively to you. Lord, I pray that you would also enlighten us as we look into this creation moment as well. Lord, we again thank you for your word, for what it means to us. We pray that you would now be with us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the creation moment is interesting. I have to say, it's not a real long one, but it's very interesting. The long, cold winters of Scandinavia not only freeze the lakes, but pile so much snow on the lakes that ice has no light, and it can't penetrate through the water beneath. And so that means that the creatures below the ice use up all the oxygen in the lake water. So that's a problem. We've had that problem before, and ends up freezing a lake out. Fish die. But there's something very interesting. As a result of the lack of oxygen, lactic acid builds up in the bodies of the creatures, and they, as they metabolize sugar to get energy. However, turtles can stand levels of lactic acid in their systems that would kill you and me. And they lower their heartbeat to 10% of normal. The crucian carp is similar to the goldfish and to the turtle. Takes a unique approach to this lack of oxygen. As the oxygen disappears, the carp slows its heartbeat. The fish then changes its entire metabolic chemistry to a process that can get energy from sugar without oxygen. This oxygen-free metabolism turns the lactic acid into ethanol, which the fish releases through its gills. The members of this carp family are the only vertebrate that can continue normal life without oxygen. That's insane. You know, God's amazing creation again. Things that just boggle the mind of science and evolution. Things that cannot be prepared through time, but has to be right now. And that's exactly what happened. So, really kind of a cool creation moment. Well, this last week was an interesting week, obviously out there in Arizona. But also, we, you know, Kathy and I, we started a conversation as we were driving and flying a plane. We started talking about how fast time is going. I don't know if you feel that. I think everybody feels it. Doesn't matter what age you are. It's like, seems like time is going quicker. And so we thought, well, let's Google it, right? You know, that's the thing to do. Google it and find out. And man alive, did we get some hits. It's very interesting what we found. And there's an important reason why time is speeding up, because it is. And the Bible does comment on it, in fact. We looked at the different prophecies concerning this, and one of the prophecies that popped out was the one in Matthew 24. And 15:10 in your pew Bibles, chapter 24 in Matthew. 15:10 in the pew Bibles gets you there. Chapter 24, Matthew, and verse 22. We're just going to read 22 because I'm going to come back and look at some of the other parts as well. But 22 says this: if those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. Now, it doesn't seem like a very big scripture about that. You know, it doesn't seem like it's real major. But we all know that the tribulation period is what's being spoken of, that it's a time that will never be equaled. In fact, in the previous verse, He said, "For then there will be a great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again." So this 7-year period of tribulation that we call it the Great Tribulation, is 7 years long. Well, if it's 7 years long, how does that time get shortened? Well, let me share this article. Very interesting article. Is time speeding up? In fact, there's how many hits on this? If you look it up, just Google a search. You can do it even now if you want, some of you kids. But Google search, time is speeding up. Just those four words, 1, 2, 3, 4. And you'll see 37 million web pages that deal with this issue. 37 million web pages that deal with this issue. Time is speeding up. People just look at me and say, "You're crazy," and it's because you're getting older. But I don't think so. There is evidence, this man who's writing this article, that time may in fact be speeding up. First, one must understand that time is relative. Traditionally, we think of time as being a constant in the universe, but it's not so. Einstein proved that. Greg Braden says that's exactly what is happening. The rotation of the earth is slowing down, but time is speeding up. Evidence from his assertions come from the Schumann resonance. The Schumann resonance is, in layman's terms, the heartbeat of the earth. In scientific terms, it's the extremely low frequency, ELF, of the Earth's magnetic field. In the 1950s, when the Schumann's resonance was first discovered, it was recorded to be an average of 7.8 hertz. Now, according to Swedish and Russian researchers, said Braden, it's an average of 12 hertz. This means, now I'm not sure about this, but it does seem like things are speeding up. That means that a normal 24-hour day feels like a 16-hour day. Don't you feel like that sometimes? I mean, it does feel like things are speeding up. So, interesting other article that I want to share is about earthquakes. You know, remember when that massive earthquake struck just off the coast of Japan and a big tsunami hit Japan? Well, guess what? It shifted the length of the Earth's day by a fraction, not very much, you know, milliseconds. But it was an 8.9 magnitude earthquake in Japan, and it was so intense that it accelerated Earth's spin and shortened the length of the day just by 1.8 microseconds. That's not very much. But also, what it did was it wobbled the Earth. It changed its rotation. Read some more of this. The Japanese earthquake could cause the Earth to rotate a bit faster, shorten the length of a day, 1.8 milliseconds. The initial data suggested that also it shifted Japan's, the whole island, 8 feet. It shifted the island 8 feet. Now, that's, you know, enough to cause the Earth to spin a little quicker. The earthquake also shifted Earth's figure axis about 6.5 inches. Now, it doesn't, you know, do as much as if it would have shifted on its north-south pole. It didn't do that. This is a different axis, a figure axis, they call it. And so the Earth's mass is balanced in the north, on the north and south axis, but this shift in position of the figure axis will cause the Earth to wobble a bit differently as it rotates. This isn't the first time that a massive earthquake has changed the length of Earth's day. Interesting, isn't it? An 8.8 magnitude earthquake in Chile last year also, well, this is an old article, so it was longer than last year, but it also sped the Earth's rotation and shortened the day by 1.26 milliseconds. Okay, so now we're up a little bit more. Then the 9.1 Sumatra our earthquake in 2004 shortened the day by 6.8 microseconds. Now we're adding on. Just the point I want to make here is time is being shortened on Earth. Now, so a 7-year period may not be exactly 7 years anymore. And I don't know what's going to happen in the future. I do know that earthquakes aren't going to stop. In fact, Scripture in Matthew talks about earthquakes increasing. And so we know that there's going to be issues going on with that. So the whole point is that something's going on. And Jesus predicted these things. And so because he predicted, and we know from Revelation that we have a horrible 7-year period that won't be equaled in any other time. It's going to be the worst that we ever had on earth. And verse 32 then tells us, it says, "Now learn the lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." Now, scholars, Bible scholars talk about this. They say that Israel is the symbol of the fig tree. And they talk about that in 1948 that Israel became a nation. And they say this is when the fig tree is actually blossomed. And then Jesus saying that the generation would not pass away. Well, now if we figure this out, we go to 1948 and we figure the generation. Right now, those people who were born in 1948 are about 66 years old. So according to scriptures, that generation won't pass away until these things come to pass. So just figure it out. Now we don't know the day or the time because in verse 36 it tells us that. It says, "No one knows about the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." And so we don't know the day or the time, but according to Jesus, we know about the time. Because it says that if you take a look at the signs and the things that are coming about, and of course we know that earthquakes have been increasing. In fact, in Texas, they never had earthquakes. People said, "We never had earthquakes. We don't remember a time when we had an earthquake." And they had 20 in a row just recently. Now, you know, should this scare us? Well, yeah, it should a little bit scare us, you know, because we should understand that time is getting shorter. That the time when Jesus returns is getting shorter. Now, we've been saying this for a long time. There's been Bible scholars say, "Oh, this is the year. Oh, that's the year." In fact, I read an article that said, you know, this year in the fall it was going to be, you know, well, I don't know. We don't know exactly when. But we can take the signs and the prophecies that are spoken about, and we can realize that things are getting shorter. Things are happening more, and in earthquakes are increasing. In fact, you can go online, and you can, again, you can Google earthquake, and there's actually a site that tracks every earthquake around the world. And you can see that, oh my gosh, there's pages long of earthquakes. They're not very strong, a lot of them, but there's a lot of them that are over 5 points on the Richter scale. And so, we know these things are happening. Well, Scripture also is clear about what's going to be happening during the time that time gets shorter in verse 37. "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man." You see, it doesn't mean that a lot of sinful things were going on. What it meant was that life just was going on. You know, we go to Walmart. You know, we go to Schaefer's. We do our shopping. We get our groceries. We cook it up. We bring it home. We just live our lives as if nothing's going on. Marry and give in marriage and, you know, it wasn't that they were being nasty and horrible people. They weren't. Everything was going on as normal. It was, in fact, a very complacent position to be because everybody was just oblivious to the signs that Noah kept telling them. "Hey, people, it's going to flood. God told me this is going to happen. Well, God's telling us what's going to happen in the future. He's telling us that the days are getting shorter. Now, I'm not, again, I don't want to have like a panic situation. But I do want us to understand that we got to do something about it. Now, what is that that we got to do? And it's verse 42. Verse 42. It says, therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. Understand this, if the owner of the house had known what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would have not let his house be broken into. So you must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. In other words, what he's saying is, you know, if a thief came to my door and knocked on it and said, hey, tomorrow night, 3 a.m, I'm coming tomorrow, 3 a.m, be ready. Wouldn't we? I mean, we might be sitting in the living room, you know, go, oh, yeah, set our clock for 1 or 2 a.m, get up, get cleaned up a little bit, sit in the front room in the rocking chair with a shotgun. You know? Thief comes, walks in the door, says, oh, I guess you're ready. Better leave. But that doesn't happen. A thief doesn't tell you when. He just comes when you least expect it. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying here. When you least expect it, it's going to happen. And so people are just going about their business, not paying attention, not watching, not waiting. And it doesn't mean we stop everything that we're doing and sit down and wait for the Lord. It's not what he's saying. He said this in that latter verse that I read. It says, be prepared. So you also, in verse 44, must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. So, if I want to be ready, what do? Well, you accept Jesus as your Savior. That's the number one thing. Because he told us that we have nothing to fear, because we have him in our lives. Nothing can harm us. He's got us in the palm of his hand. He's going to protect us. He's going to, in fact, you've heard a lot about the rapture, I'm sure. And he will rapture his believers, his people. There's a new movie that came out, Left Behind, you know, Nicolas Cage. Interesting story about that, too, if you haven't heard it already. His brother is a pastor. And so his brother called up Nicolas Cage and said, you got to do this movie. And Nicholas, you know, he respects his brother and loves him and everything. And so he said, well, okay. But as they interviewed Nicholas, it didn't seem a whole lot like he changed, like he believed anything. But he just said, you know, I really believe that, you know, families need to get together and really love one another and blah, blah. But he didn't really say anything about a conversion in his life. But that Left Behind movie will show you the devastation that's going to happen when the rapture occurs. Now, again, I don't know when it's going to happen. But I know from Scripture that all the prophecies from the Old Testament up to present have been fulfilled 100%. So now, why wouldn't I believe that the prophecies that are yet to come will not be fulfilled on 100%? I believe they will. And so because I believe that all the prophecies of the Bible will be fulfilled, then I know the rapture and his coming to take us to be with him will be fulfilled. When? I don't know. But you know what? I'm not going to wait around and say, oh, you know, 1 o'clock, I guess I better become a Christian. I hear that so often from people who say, you know, not now, not now. I got a lot of stuff to do yet. I don't want to be bought. I don't want to have to change my friends. I don't want to have to stop drinking. I don't want to have to, you know, stop this or that or whatever the issues are in a person's life. I don't want to stop those things. I want to keep doing them. And then, you know, maybe later I'll become a Christian. But, you know, later may never come. That's the problem. Because we don't know. And on top of that, we don't know when the Lord's going to call us home, bang, and you die on the spot. I served as a deputy medical examiner, and I picked up a lot of people who were out shoveling snow. and just dropped. I picked up people who were sitting in their rocking chair reading a book, and bang, they're gone. We do not know, and all ages too, doesn't matter how old you are, death is no respecter of persons, from infants all the way to the aged. That's what death does. And so we don't know when it's going to happen. So the best thing to do is just prepare now. Just accept Jesus now. Believe in Him. Trust Him with your life. What is the harm? You know, but Satan's whispering, oh, you know, you're going to live a life full of misery, and it's going to be horrible, and you're going to have to walk around with a sad face and everything else. I don't. I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. I have more fun than ever than when I was drinking back in the service. In fact, I get up in the morning now with no hangovers. I'm not sick. And I feel great. I enjoy my life even more than I ever did before. Is there trials in my life? Do I still have hardships? Absolutely I do. I still go through trials and tribulations. But you know what? Jesus gives me the strength to get through them. And when I get through those issues and those trials and tribulations, I also understand that this isn't my home. I have a home in heaven. And no one can take that away. I'm secure in His hands. And no matter what happens in this world, I have Him in my life. I have heaven as my home. That's the faith that we have. And no matter if, I don't care if an earthquake hits Cranston. If it does, oh well. There's going to be some death. There's going to be some heartache. There's going to be some problems. But you know what? Even if I die, I'm secure in His hands. What have I got to lose? Nothing. But everything to gain. And that's the same with everybody else. You know, we have this tendency to think that you know, oh, I don't want to lose this, I don't want to lose that. But you have everything to gain by believing in Jesus. And so, when it says, believe in Jesus and trust in God, Jesus says, I have a place in heaven. I've prepared it for you. All these things are coming. Sooner or later, they're all coming. I'm prepared. I hope you're prepared. You know, the scripture that we read this morning that Joe read said you cannot serve two masters. And that's what you're trying to do if you're trying to serve the world and say, well, I believe in God. Do you really believe in God? If you believed in God and you trusted in Jesus, you'd be serving Him. Only Him. But you know what? Sometimes we get wrapped up, you know, I got to make a living, and I understand that. Got to make a living, got to make the money, got to do what I got to do. And that's stuff we have to do. But we don't have to focus on those things. We don't have to make them our master. Jesus and God need to be our master. We need to serve Him. So what I'd like to do as we close is I'd like us just to bow our heads and just have a prayer. And you know, if maybe you haven't accepted the Lord, a great time to do it. Maybe you're not serving Him. Great time to change that. So I'm just going to pray, and then we're going to close up, and we'll sing our last song. So let's bow our heads first. Father, I ask that You would move in the hearts of those that have just resisted Your tugs. A lot of us already know these things. A lot of us know that these things are coming, but we kind of just pushed it off. Maybe some of the things in this world have just kind of distracted us and got us busy, and we don't think about it. Lord, I pray that we're thinking about it now, that these things are coming. And I pray, Lord, that those that have never accepted You as Savior would just pray, Lord, I want You in my life. I don't want to be left behind. I don't want to go through a tribulation period. I don't want to have to be faced with an eternity in hell. I want to be with You. I want heaven as my home. Lord, I pray that You fill my life with Your Spirit. Help me to serve You and You alone. Lord, I pray also for those that maybe are Christians but haven't been following you lately. I pray that you would help them to just recommit their lives, just to serve you now, fully and completely. Lord, that we would be prepared for what's coming, because it is coming. I pray that you prepare each one of our hearts for what is to come. Lord, now we commit the rest of this day into your hands. We commit the rest of our lives into your hands. We ask that you would give us a peace about all the things that are going on in this world, all the turmoil in the Middle East, all the upheaval in the United States, all the craziness going on around the world. Lord, that you just give us peace to know that we're in your hands. We pray all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.